want to talk to you a little bit today about change. Yes, change in the sense of us changing to be better people, or change in the sense of, you know, somebody was doing pretty good, but they kind of fell off the wagon, I guess is the expression. Not necessarily with respect to alcohol, but with respect to anything, with respect to doing good, and they're no longer following in the right path. Exactly how do we expect God to relate to us when we change? I would like for us to think about that for a little bit. You see, sometimes people think, well, everything was going along so good in my life, and I just don't know why, God would not bless me like he did before. I mean, exactly what's the deal here? It's like I've got the why me syndrome. You know, why did this happen to me and why did that happen to me? And sometimes they wonder if God is, in a sense, picking on them. Well, certainly the Lord is not picking on them per se, but sometimes because of how people change, God changes with respect to how he is reacting to us. This idea is presented to us in Genesis chapter 6, because there it talks about God repenting. Well, God didn't do anything bad that he needs to repent of in the same way that we do, you know, where we say, well, you know, that was awful that I should do such a thing, and I'm sorry that I did it. Well, God is not sorrowful in the sense that he did anything wrong, but God does change with respect to how man is behaving. It says in Genesis 6 and verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So if God repents, then exactly in what way does he repent? Because I thought that he was an unchanging God. I am the Lord, I change not. And a lot of people talk about how that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and all that. And so they wonder, well, how could it be that God would ever repent then? Well, it's good for us to understand this idea and for us to delve into it a little bit so that you can know exactly what it is that is going on in your life. Why were you so blessed and then now you're not as blessed anymore? Exactly what's God doing with you? And exactly in what way can God be said to repent or change with respect to you and your life? I mean, it's important to know what God's doing to us, right? So let's talk about this for a minute. In respect to his essence, that is the essence of God himself, his attributes, his moral character, his inflexible determination to punish sin and to reward virtue, God is without variableness or shadow of turning. That's what James said in James chapter 1, and we certainly believe that to be true. Again, some of his declarations are absolute and unconditional. God's going to do what God said that he would do based upon his promise being, you know, apart from man. But many of his promises, including promises and threatenings, turn out to be conditioned upon, something that we might do or do not do. They turn upon conditions either expressed or implied. Now, this passage I'm about to give you, it is a very explicit statement of the great principle in the divine administration. God's plan or rule of conduct in dealing with men is expressed in this passage. And here it comes from Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning at verse 7. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up or to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Here is brought clearly into view the underlying condition, which if it's not expressed, then it's at least implied, that in God's promises and in his threats, whenever God, in consequence of a change of the person's character or of, you know, how they're behaving toward him, how they're thinking about it, if they change, then God himself will also change. There's nothing wrong with saying that God is immutable, that he does not change, and yet at the same time saying that he does change. What he does is he changes with respect to, well, I was going to do this to you, but since you changed direction, I've got another promise or another threat out here, and now that one is going to come to bear. Somebody says, well, I still don't get it. How could God change and yet not change? Well, maybe this illustration will help you a little bit. Suppose a rock is located in the center of a circle that is 1 mile in diameter. All right, so you've got a rock here, and then you just measure out a certain distance. Let's say it's a whole mile, and you just start traveling around that circle, and the rock is in the very center of the circle. Ah, calling back some geometry on you from school, aren't I? But anyway, a man starts to walk around this circle. And remember, that rock's right there in the center of it. God is like that rock. On starting, he is due north from the rock. And he goes around, and as he goes around, he bears due south from him. And then after traveling a while, he comes to be due east from the rock. And then he's due west from the rock. And you see how it is? Man changes his position, and therefore he changes his relationship with God. Well, it used to be the rock was to my south. Well, it used to be the rock was to my west. Well, it used to be the rock was to my north. So sometimes people, as they start out in life, they are safe with God. And so God is right there with them. They have angelic representation, as it indicates in Hebrews chapter 1, and as Jesus talked about in Matthew chapters 18 and 19, and everything is good and fine with the world. They're safe with Christ. But then, as people get older, they invariably commit sin. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so as people commit sin, we are separated from God by our iniquities, and therefore we're in a different relation with Him. So now, instead of God having all these blessings that He's going to come say that's going to come upon us, and for us to be represented angelically and to be safe with Abraham in His bosom if we were to die, instead now we find ourselves in danger of a devil's hell. And all of the threats and the things that God said that He would do to people like that, they're coming against us. That's because we've changed from being north of God, so to speak, to south of God. He's not moved, but we've moved. And that's why the Bible says, "Be ye reconciled unto God." We have to change our position. And when we do, we'll change our relationship with God. When God looked down upon the world in the days of Noah, the passage I started out with in Genesis chapter 6, why, the people started out just pure as the driven snow with Adam and Eve. But over time, you see, they got to where they were no longer in that right relationship. They had changed their position in relation to the rock. And therefore, if they start going back to where they're in a right direction in life, then they'll get back to the original position, you see. And this is the way it is with everybody in life. They wonder, well, I was doing so good. How come I've messed up, Tim? Well, a lot of times what it is if you look at your life, you'll find that you're just not doing like you were doing at the very beginning. Well, when I started out as a Christian, I was going to church all the time. Yeah, well, what happened that you changed and you quit doing that? And you wonder why things are, you know, hard for you now in this life. You see, people wonder about, how can I keep up the same fervency for God? I just can't keep it up. It seems like it's so hard for me to keep following the straight and narrow path. Well, it all starts with the little stuff. If you start messing up on the little stuff, whether it be going to church or whether it be, you're no longer as dedicated as far as saying anything to anybody when you have an opportunity to mention Jesus to them or anything like that, then over time you get colder and colder toward the Lord in your religion. He wants exactly the opposite. You start out with, and you have, a real nervousness, and you're real anxious about saying anything to anybody about Jesus, but over time you become more and more bold, and as your life is changed more and more to be like what God wants it to be, then you're going back to that original position, and you're going back to that pure state, and God loves that, and God will give you blessings when you do that. But if you turn from what you said you would do, then just like in the book of Jeremiah, God's going to change with how He, you know, gave His promises to you. Instead of in the promises area, you're now over in the threatenings area. And God just throws all of this out here to us in the Scripture, and it's up to us to decide, are we going to fall into the area where we get His blessings, or are we going to fall into the group of people that get His condemnation? God doesn't force you. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. What do you want? Do you want to serve the living God and let the blessings of Jesus Christ come upon you? Are you going to change, repent, so that God might change His threatenings unto His blessings unto you? Or are you going to persist in sin and allow the promises of the Scripture to come unto you, which are that if you don't obey Him, then you will go and be with the devil forever in his hell? Now, it's very simple, one or the other. That's why the Scripture says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." There's your promises. "But he that believeth not shall be damned." Somebody is in an area of condemnation. They are a disbeliever, and yet they change to being a believer. They obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that changes, you see, their whole relation to God, their whole perspective in life. Not because God has moved, but because you have been reconciled unto Him. You've drawn closer to Him. Let's everybody line up in the right direction, okay? And if there's any way we can help you to do that at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, to understand what the Bible means when it talks about us repenting or God repenting or anything like that, or any Bible question you might have at all, just ask us and we'll be happy to answer any of them that we can and look up the ones that we don't know. All of that you can find at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. Come check us out, and it'll do you good, and we'd love to see you. You'll receive a warm welcome, and thank you for listening this afternoon.